Our text for this morning's meditation is from 1 John, these words, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared." You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's easy to get All Saints Day messed up in our head with the Sunday of the fulfillment. Now, the Sunday of the fulfillment is the last Sunday of the church year, the Sunday upon which we celebrate the return of Christ on the last day. This year, the Sunday of the fulfillment, it lands on November 22nd, that is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, on that Sunday, Sunday of the fulfillment. The theme is our preparation as Christians for the return of Christ on the last day. On All Saints Day, however, the day we are observing this morning, the theme is our change, our transition, our alteration when we enter the heavenly realms, when we get to heaven. In other words, the fact that when we enter our heavenly home, we're going to be different than we are right now. Confusion can be caused, of course, by the usage of text on both days, the Sunday of the Fulfillment and All Saints, from the book of Revelation, as we heard a few moments ago, and also hymns that speak of heaven and our place in it, as we just sang, banners, bulletin covers. So let's focus in then this morning for a few moments on the idea of our text on this All Saints Day, and that is that since we are God's children now, what we will be has not yet appeared. What we will be has not yet appeared. That is, even now, right this moment, we are not what we'll become. No, we will not become angels in heaven. Nor will we become the best versions of our old self, our old man, our old Adam. But that is the challenge, a challenge for us in the here and now, isn't it? This idea that appeals, the concept that draws us like bugs to a bright light, and that is that in Christ, so it is thought, through faith in Christ, somehow we will become the best version of our old self. We'll overcome all obstacles on earth in the here and now, rising above those around us in wealth and health and in talent and skill and in looks and intelligence. In other words, our life here in Christ right now is a hint of what it'll be like in heaven. But that hint, it's a big one. Because in Christ, borrowing a campaign slogan from the character Pedro in the movie Napoleon Dynamite, in Christ, all of our wildest dreams will come true. So the thought of some. Of course, that is not true. It's not the point of our redemption by Christ from sin, death, and hell. And in the movie Napoleon Dynamite, Pedro's slogan, it wasn't reality either. See, Pedro was running for student body president in his high school, and that slogan that he would make all of the students' wildest dreams come true, it was ridiculous. And purposely so. Ridiculous, but it was also clever. Clever because that slogan made it obvious that no promise made by any candidate running for student body president of a high school could be fulfilled, because the student body president of a high school has absolutely no authority. Different, of course, is Satan. Satan, when he would tempt us to follow his advice in order that we would make all of our wildest dreams come true in this life, yes, Satan will act in our lives. But at the end of the day, following his advice, following Satan's guidance, our lives will not be one of dreams fulfilled, but of nightmares experienced and lived until death. And then things just get worse in hell. So the Christian living in Christ has a different experience in this life. For life for the Christian is not about pursuing wild dreams, but about living in reality, serving one another in love, looking forward to our resurrection in hope, knowing that our life after this life has come to an end will be so much better than it is now, as we just sang in our hymn. So much better, in fact, that our life in heaven in eternity, it's almost indescribable. How does it work? Well, being baptized into Christ, coming to faith in Jesus Christ through the Word of God, we are made by the Holy Spirit of God, children of God. That's what we read in the Gospel of John, the first chapter, right? As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. That describes the Christian, born of God. And we can think here then of the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus, especially when Jesus says to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." So, coming to faith in Christ, being baptized into Christ, we are born again at that moment. The Holy Spirit, he's given to us as a gift. And we are made children of God who is himself Spirit. But even though we become children of God, daily our sins being forgiven, daily the righteousness of Christ considered by God in heaven to be our righteousness through faith. Yes, even though we have become children of God, we have not already become that which we will be in the resurrection, in heaven, in eternity with Jesus. For here we are poor in spirit. For here we mourn. Here we are meek. Here we hunger and thirst for righteousness. Here we're merciful and pure in heart. Here we're peacemakers. Here we're persecuted for righteousness' sake. Here we're reviled, persecuted, and have evil uttered against us because of our association with Jesus. Now, we pulled that description from the Sermon on the Mount. We heard that a few moments ago, too, obviously. Somewhat of an intimidating description of our Christian life in the here and now. And it's a mixed bag, isn't it? Compilation of challenges, sufferings, comforts, and warnings. So why is it so? Why is our life in the here and now described in such a way by our Savior himself, Jesus? Well, it's because having been reborn, having become children of God by means of the Spirit of God through faith in Christ, having been washed and regenerated and renewed by the Holy Spirit, we still exist in this thing called the flesh. The old Adam. We're encased in the old man, body of death, which exists in the world and it's tempted by Satan. How do we understand that, existing in this body of death as children of God? It's a bit confusing, isn't it? What's it like? Well, I think this rebirth in Christ, this life of Christ, which exists within which the Apostle Paul calls our bodies of death. I think this is, now follow me here. This is like when we headed off into the military, went off to college, got married, or headed out in some grand adventure. I think this new life existing in a body of death is like when we left home for quite some time and returning home years later, having successfully served in the military, maybe some challenging situations and battles. Or we earned a degree, or we started a career, or we started a family. Yes, having gone out into the world and changed and grown and accomplished for the better, we return home not to a hero's welcome in which we're honored and feted and respected, but we return home only to be treated like we never left. Like we'd never gotten any older, like we'd never changed, like we had not accomplished or completed, or we're still doing, still growing. Yes, on the inside of us, we were different. We'd become different, but at home, we were treated exactly the same as we always had been, or even worse. Now, suddenly, the effort was made by those at home to convince us that we are no different at all, not changed a bit, so should not think of ourselves in any different fashion than we had ever had before. That's where the conflict comes in. When we come to faith in Christ, when we believe, we are changed on the inside to look at life in a new way and look forward in hope to a life in heaven that will be completely beyond our comprehension in the here and now. Yes, in Christ we have been changed and will continue to be changed as we remain in faith in Christ. But the world looking at us says, nope, just the same as you've always been. You're no different. In fact, if you insist that you are, that your life in Christ is different than your life apart from Christ, we're going to make sure that we make your life here in this world more challenging than it's ever been before. That's the world. It's a response to Christians. So what's the comfort? What is that to which we can look forward in hope? Well, our Savior tells us. He tells us why ultimately in Him we will be blessed. Here's a list also from the Sermon on the Mount. In Christ we'll be blessed, for ours is the kingdom of heaven. In Christ we will be blessed, for we shall be comforted. We shall inherit the earth. We shall be satisfied. We shall receive mercy. We shall see God. And we shall be called sons of God. We shall rejoice and be glad. So Jesus, so our future in Christ. One more thing. Realize that this description of our life in heaven that is found in the Sermon on the Mount doesn't simply begin when we enter heaven. It begins already when we come to faith in Christ, when we are baptized into Him. Being given the Holy Spirit, we're encouraged daily to love and to rejoice and to be at peace and to be patient, to be kind, to be good and gentle, and to practice self-control. Yes, we exist in a body that's wearing out, and it's slowing down, and it's prone to injury and disease, and it will die. That's why St. Paul calls it the body of death. But through Christ, and in Christ, and by Christ, we can, in this body of death, exist even now in a spirit of life. A spirit of life which simply hints at what we will be completely and totally and fully in the future. So the common modification of Philippians 1:6 that we hear often in worship, may the Lord who has begun this good work in you bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord who has begun this good work within you bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's that all about but the hope, the desire that what we will be in Christ on the last day ultimately will appear? It's on All Saints Day. We're reminded that we live daily in this hope. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.